We hop on board the time machine and take you back 30 years. If you were following Maine hockey at all, well, you know where you were 30 years ago tonight when the Black Bears took on Lake Superior State for the national championship. Joe Carr was on the call then from the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, and Joe joins us this afternoon. Joe, welcome in.
Hi, Rich. Good to speak with you. Thank you.
So 30 years ago, it's hard for me to fathom you were doing the games when you were only 13.
I wish, but boy, it's amazing that it's been 30 years, but the memories are vivid still to this day, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back and talk a little bit about the season itself first. It was a remarkable year, and I'm sure you're in the camp of those people who say quite justifiably that that's the greatest season anybody's had in college hockey.
I think it's pretty hard to argue that. There was a Cornell team that was undefeated around 1970 with Ken Dryden, but I can say for sure it's the best team I ever saw, and it's not even close. It was really kind of ridiculous in some ways going through that season. You know, that team averaged more than 6 goals a game. The list of accolades, we could go on practically all day. It was an amazing thing to witness, and just an incredible deep roster that Sean Walsh and Grant Stanbrook and the staff built, and I really think that was the key to the whole thing. You had people like Mike Letendris and Eric Fenton from Southern Maine, and so many other really good players playing third and fourth line and not even seeing any power play time where they would have been stars on other teams. They really had to put aside their self-interest for the good of the team, and they all did. And we saw the unbelievable result.
Now, Maine had come close. They had made it to the Frozen Four. I think the first time was back in 1988. So they'd been close before, but this team really set the pace early on. I think it was in that opening game when they scored 8 or 9 goals against Providence to kind of put a message out there that this might well be their year.
That's right. And then, amazingly enough, the second night was one of the two ties.
Wow.
Of the whole season. So they had that big opening night, then a tie the second night, and then off on the run that led to 42-1-2. I remember a scout from the Anaheim Ducks named Dave McNabb, who was at an early season game. He eventually became the general manager of that same team, and he was kidding around. He loved to talk with reporters, and he was kidding around in the press box, and he said, before the season, he said, you know, this team could go undefeated. Everybody went, oh, yeah, sure. It was pretty close. So did not miss that one by very much at all.
No. And now Carey often likes to take credit for the fact that he was there the night the Bears lost to BU in overtime for that one in the middle. Right, Carey?
Yeah, it was the only game I got to see in person that year, and it was the one loss of the season.
Yeah. Sean Walsh always said that was a good thing. They did get to experience what it felt like to lose a game. He thinks that in the long run, that was helpful. And you can understand that there's a pretty good case to be made for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was towards the end of the season, so it sort of, I think, probably served as a bit of a, oh, this can happen to us.
So what did they led in that game 7-3 or 7-4, right, and lost 8-7 in overtime? I think it was something like that against BU.
7-6 in overtime was the final.
Okay, right. So it was a high-scoring game where they had a big lead and couldn't hold it.
It was such an interesting roster, and you talked about some of the names, and there were obviously a whole lot of NHL-level talents on that team, but there were guys that understood their role and stepped up big. I always think of a guy like Lee Saunders, who was so crucial down the stretch.
Lee Saunders scored one of the biggest goals in Maine hockey history, right? In the national semifinal against the University of Michigan. It's easy to forget how close this came to going off the rails in the next-to-last game when the Black Bears were behind and then tied it in the third period and won in overtime on a very strange goal by Lee Saunders that just barely somehow trickled through a crowd and crossed the goal line. But that put the Black Bears into the finals, but into the championship game against Lake Superior. But you're exactly right, Rich. There were so many guys on that team who just played their role and contributed to the overall success, and a lot of the credit for that, in my mind, goes to team leadership, player leadership, specifically, I mean, the captain. Not a big surprise, I think, when we look back at it now that Jim Montgomery would eventually become an NHL coach. And by all accounts, a really, really, really good one, according to what we're seeing this year.
And what a talented coaching staff, too. Obviously, led by Sean and, of course, the work of Grant Stanbrook. But there were a lot of talented coaches on that staff.
And Red Gendron was on that staff.
Right. Bruce Crowder, right?
That's right. And Bruce Major, who had been a very good player, was the grad assistant that year. And he was my partner on most of the radio broadcasts. He was very good at that, too, Bruce was, and a good guy.
We're talking with Joe Carr, the 30th anniversary of Maine hockey's first national championship in 1993. So let's pick up down at the Worcester Centrum. This is the regional semifinal game and a pretty solid domination of the Golden Gophers, with Maine taking a 6-2 victory in that one.
Right. As I recall, Minnesota had beaten Clarkson to get to that game, and Minnesota was obviously good, as they always were. But there was no contest from the beginning, and the Black Bears had certainly identified Milwaukee as their destination, and that was really their last dominant performance of the year, but it was one that kind of fit into the pattern that had been established throughout the season.
And then, boy, it was white-knuckle time throughout the trip to the Bradley Center. You mentioned the Michigan game, the big Lee Saunders goal, but every play in that 4-3 overtime win seemed to be huge.
And in the third period, just to back up a little bit, there was, I'm pretty sure it was the third period and not overtime, a 3-on-1 for Michigan with Garth Snow standing in there and making the save. That was really a scary moment. And then the overtime was, as I mentioned, strange and ended up on ending on that goal by Lee Saunders. But Michigan was, of course, a terrific team that year. And that was in a period of time when they had a number of extremely good teams in a row with Coach Red Berenson, so they were never going to be a pushover, but it was a tremendous game and incredibly exciting. And once the Black Bears got through that, it was Lake Superior waiting and the big showdown that a lot of people had anticipated.
Yeah, and as we know, it didn't start all that well for the Black Bears.
Often the case, and the Final Fours, as they were called, and then eventually the Frozen Fours. I remember the very first one in 1988 that you mentioned was the opposite. Maine jumped out to the big lead,
yeah, or
the early lead, I should say, with a couple of goals by Dave Capiona. I think you might have been there, Rich.
I was, at Lake Placid. Yep.
Right? So that one went the other way, but it was often a matter of trying to overcome a little bit of a bumpy start, and that was the case, of course, in the championship game against Lake State in 1993. But to be behind by 2 goals going into the third period, but not to panic, was really indicative of really how this team was built and the kind of leadership, again, that they had and the focus on the goal at hand and getting the job done, which they did in a spectacular way.
Yeah, and Jim Montgomery just with a game for the ages there, but also, as was the case all season long, some big contributions from Paul Kariya.
3 assists, right? On 3 Jim Montgomery goals, and what an incredible line that was, obviously, to state the obvious, with those two guys, plus Cal Ingraham.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable to think about this number now. He scored 46 goals in that season. Benefited by he won the hockey lottery by getting the third spot in that line with Jim Montgomery and Paul Kariya, but what a season he had. Another thing about that third period that was critically important to changing the tide was the goaltender change. And Sean Walsh always said, gave credit to Grant Stanbrook for suggesting going from Mike Dunham to Garth Snow for the third period. Garth was a little bit better at moving the puck, and the Black Bears were having trouble with Lake Superior's forecheck. And because Garth could get the puck back up the ice quickly and start that transition, it did change things and was a key factor in creating a scenario where the Black Bears could score 3 times.
Joe, what do you remember most about after the game, after Maine had won that championship?
Well, you know, I grew up in Maine, in Herman, and was always a Black Bears sports fan, still am. And I kind of remember sitting there and just trying to reflect on it and to take it in and to appreciate the moment and to really realize what had happened, that this dream had come true and that a Maine team could win a national championship and had done it in a way that the college hockey fans would never forget. So it was 30 years ago, so I can't quite remember the scenario exactly, but I have this faint memory of sitting there by myself kind of late after the game and just trying to appreciate the moment. And to this day, that memory is still strong and still feels pretty good.
And then the incredible reception when the team returned to campus.
You know, I wasn't there.
Really?
I was on a different flight.
No.
So I was left behind, as was often the case with the attending media crew. So I've seen many pictures of it and lots of video, and it was great for the fans to have that opportunity to, of course, to recognize and celebrate that team and everything that they had accomplished, because, as is often the case and certainly was the case then, the fans were a big part of not only getting the program to that point, but also the way that season played out.
And of course, we see this, and I think in all the sports up there, but it's no exaggeration to say that the main hockey group, that's a family. Those guys have all stayed close to each other. And I know because I've seen on social media that oftentimes you'll run into some of those former players along the way and always go back to those special memories from 30 years ago.
Yeah, it really makes it fun, doesn't it, to see how Mike Golden and Christian Lalonde, and I could list them all day, the guys who went through this program, have done so well in their lives. And, you know, they have families of their own, and they've done well professionally, and many played professional hockey, and they all attribute some of their success, or a good part of their success, to the experience they had playing in that program.
Well, it was an amazing experience for the fans, the players, but also for the broadcasters, too. There aren't a whole lot of us in the business who get to be on the call of a national championship game, and I'm sure that's something you'll never forget.
Yeah, I think about the 42-1-2. That adds up to 45. I'm one of very few people who had the opportunity to see all 45. You know, I was talking to somebody about Jim Montgomery the other day, and I said, yep, I saw every game he played in a Maine uniform because of, you know, being on the radio broadcast. So, opportunity of a lifetime. I'm incredibly grateful for the circumstances that came together to allow, you know, that to be a big part of what I was able to experience.
Well, and
years ago and before and after.
You brought it to life for all of us who are listening at home, Joe. Thank you so much, as always, for making a little time with us this afternoon to look back. And by the way, congratulations on your new basketball coach down there. Looks like you got a good one at Providence.
Yeah, the Friars, I think the Friars have landed on their feet here after a little bit of a tumultuous time with Coach Cooley going to Georgetown. But this new coach, Kim English, and by the way, a new coach of the women's program, Aaron Bath, look like they're going to be terrific. And they're both off to really good starts here. And the basketball community is pretty energized and looking forward to November. Let's get back at it.
There you go. Well, hey, Joe, great to talk with you. As always, give my best to Alan and the family, and we hope to talk with you again soon.
Same to you and your family, Rich. Thank you for inviting me on. I appreciate it always.
Our pleasure. Joe Carr, longtime voice of Maine Black Bear Hockey on Downtown.